Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a saying in Germany, alle können mitleiden, aber nur Freunde können mitfreuen. Everyone can have compassion, but only friends can rejoice with one another. And so our Lord is pointing to something about relationships here. Obviously the primordial relationship that we are to have with Him, but then that relationship ought to order our own relationships, and not only our relationships in the people or the things we do, but our worldview. And we see that this worldview is tenuous. It is malleable, it's variable. And in trad world, we see kind of three continents of traditionalists. We see the world of the mad trads. They're all uptight, kind of like these Pharisees who are murmuring. And then we see the sad trads. And then we see the glad trads. So how does this come about? How do you find yourself in one of these camps? And how do you find yourself in the right one and not wander like a lost sheep into one of the others? A lot of it has to do with your own personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. There is an insidious heresy that has accompanied the church from its earliest days called Gnosticism. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis. Gnosis has nothing to do with gnocchi. So gnosis means knowledge. So these spiritual elite have received some special enlightenment. And that enlightenment on the level of the intellect has brought salvation to their houses, and they're very content with themselves. Life is pretty good when you're a Gnostic, because as Mark Twain once said, he smiled like a Christian going to heaven with a hand of full aces. You know, everything is kind of going my way, and so we become self-satisfied. And that's the danger. When you are self-satisfied, when you think you've got it, next step, mad trad. Then you become a mad trad, you become a Gnostic. And this is a very prevalent danger in the traddy world. And I've seen it. I invited some friends to the beautiful St. Stanislaus to come to Latin Mass. And after receiving communion, the father of the family was scolded for not putting his hands under the houseling cloth as he should have. And I thought, well, you know, the person that made this observation must have a profound Eucharistic life. If right after receiving our Lord, he's watching to see the mistakes of newbies. You know, what a deep, deep sense of union he must have. And that doesn't really help. Because when we're self-referential, I've got it, all of a sudden, we're the Gnostics, and the others are the unenlightened, and please, let me help you. Or, let me just murmur. That's an interesting word, murmur. We see it often in Scripture, and it's almost always in the moment when our Lord is speaking of mercy. He's speaking of mercy. Diegon gutson. They murmured. In Latin, murmurare, which is, you know, an onomatopoetic word, murmur, murmur, murmur. It's just kind of this grumbling. So the whole idea of murmur is it's an ongoing background noise, like a bubbling cauldron, like a brook that's of running water or a crackling fire. That's the whole notion of murmur. There's an ongoing noise. And if we pay attention to that noise, it drowns out everything else. On the other hand, when you're a glad trad, that noise starts to dissipate, and we're focusing on something else, something much more profound than what I find in my own heart and mind, as small and puny as they are. The sad trads are, they're not Gnostics. They don't think they're saved. And they don't think they're capable of being saved. Often because they're hyper-focused on their own sinfulness, their own weakness, and all of that is real. Okay? And often it's a reaction to the mistaken notion that mercy is unconditional, everybody's going to heaven, and so, well, that's not true, and we know it's not true, sadly. So then, if not everyone's going to heaven, then who is? Who's going to make it? How can I, if I consider my own sinfulness? And so it becomes, again, self-referential. And the sad reference here is my own unworthiness. Well, that's not where we end, that's where we start. That's where our Lord starts with us. But he certainly doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to bring us home. So when that one sheep wanders, he leaves everything for that one soul. And what do the friends do? He calls his friends, "Rejoice with me." I had a gentleman come to me. He was wütend. That's a great word in German, wütend. He was like burning angry. And I said, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Well, I just read this article in the diocesan newspaper about this woman who heard this sappy 1970s liturgical guitar song, and as a result, she came back to the church." And I said, "And what's the problem here?" "Well, that song." I go, "Okay, you don't like it. I don't like it. I doubt our Lord is thrilled by it. But in his humility, he used that stupid song to bring a soul home. And you're uptight. There's a problem here, okay? It's a spiritual illness. And it's bigger than that song. It's bigger than that song." So we can sometimes go from glad trad. We have discovered tradition. We've discovered this treasury of the church. And then all of a sudden we think, "I've got it." And then, you know, the next steps is to become a mad trad because I've got it. On the other hand, what's going to protect us from that? What keeps us from going into the mad trad camp? There is this rejoicing that our Lord speaks about. We rejoice with him because his heart is a burning furnace of love, as we saw on Friday night. It's a wounded heart. He wants reparation. He wants company. He wants our friendship. And when we have that, all of a sudden we are capable of wonder. Wonder. That's wonder is, in Latin, is admiratio, the desire to know. Desiderium scire, the desire to know. In other words, notice that the person who wonders, the person who is amazed at the action of grace, is never self-satisfied with the degree of knowledge that he has of our Lord. So our Lord is never reduced to the size of his cranium. But the Blessed Trinity, who has entered our soul through grace, giving life to our souls, and certainly enlightening our minds through the ordinary means of what's called the Lumen Fidei, the light of faith, he starts to reveal stuff to us. I'm not talking about voices or visions. An ability, a divine ability, because of the theological virtue of faith, to finally understand the truths that our Lord has revealed. But that's not going to happen if I think I've got it, if I don't have this absolute means untethered, unbound, this absolute openness to him. So ultimately it's the heart of our Savior that protects us from being mad or sad, because it demands trust, it demands abandonment, it demands an intimate relationship, and every relationship has to be worked on. Every couple knows that. In our spousal relationship with our Lord, I mean, he's doing fine on his part, thank you. He doesn't really have to work at his end of this relationship, but he wants us to constantly go back to the beginning. And when we go back to the beginning of discovering Him, of finding Him, of being forgiven by Him, we're not in the same place. We're always starting at a different beginning. It's because we're letting Him work on our hearts and our minds. We're letting Him convert us. And when we see somebody else converted, we rejoice with him. We don't begrudge anybody that, or you didn't come here the right way. Who of us did? We were all born in sin. We're all, you know, part of Adam's family. Okay, we're broken, wounded, but that when God's grace is in the mix, that doesn't have the last word. The eternal Logos has the last word because He is the first and last word. And when we are in habitual union with Him through our cultivating this awareness of His presence in our heart through grace, and then when we walk into a beautiful church and we see Him in the Blessed Sacrament, we kneel down in adoration, in wonder, in joy, we're constantly starting over. And there's a virtuous cycle going on of starting over, deepening our relationship, and beautiful things happen. So, right after the Feast of the Sacred Heart, the Church gives us another glimpse of His heart. But it also shows us what our heart is to look like in imitation of His. And may we all imitate His heart. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen.